Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for each one who's come to study your word this morning. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, you have seen fit to communicate your will to us through your word. And we thank you for the miraculous word of God you've given to us. And you have kept it for us all these years that we have the word of God in our hands. And we can study it and know your will for our lives. And Lord, I ask you to bless now as we look at your word. Control our time together. May you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning with a little word association. We do this from time to time. I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to tell me the first word that comes to your mind. Now, I do have one restriction. I don't want you to tell me a person. I want you to tell me something else, anything besides a person. Now that I've said that, the first thing you're going to think of is going to be a person. But you're right. All right, you ready? Are you ready to think? Jim, you ready? All right, Jim's ready. Here's the word. Spiritual. Spiritual. All right, help me out. Raise your hand. What's the first word that came to mind? Yes, ma'am. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Yes, sir. Invisible. Okay? I heard something somewhere. Music. All right? Controlled. Some of you hadn't had a word come to you yet, have you? You're still waiting. Something's going to come real quick. What else?
No fun.
No fun. You need some counseling, son. I tell you what. You really need this lesson, Doug. I tell you what. That's all right. You're being an honest man. Who else will be honest? Any other ideas? Guidance, holy, separation, influence, a way of living, godly. Okay, good. These are all good. I think in a very practical aspect, we have a very wrong idea of what it means to be spiritual. And usually, when we're trying to determine our own spirituality, typically we will compare ourselves with other people, right? Well, they do this and I don't, so I'm spiritual. Now, don't look so sanctified. Now, what does Paul say about comparing ourselves to others? In 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves." That's what most of the time we do. And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now look, if you say, "Gary, I am spiritual because I am better than this person," the Bible says you are not wise. So, how do we judge true spirituality? What do we look at to find out if we're truly spiritual? Well, this morning, and really next week, this is the theme for our class for this year. I want to talk about what true spirituality is. And I think before we can know what true spirituality is, we need to cover what true spirituality isn't. That makes sense? Okay? And we want to look to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because there's a group of people that Paul is writing to. And if you know the church of Corinth, would you say they were spiritual people? No, why not? What do you know about the church of Corinth that would tell you they were not spiritual? There was incest in the church. They were fussing and feuding. They were taking each other to court. They were bragging about, "I am of Paul. I am of Apollos." And then the really spiritual ones, "I am of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know. So there was a lot of issues in this church. And we find their description here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth," or Holy Ghost teacheth, "comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now let's stop for a minute. What kind of people are natural men or natural people? They eat natural food. They go to the natural food market, right? Is that what a natural person is? What's a natural person? They're unsaved. They are still in their old nature. They are controlled by the old nature. And so these are unsaved people. Now, next verse. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For wherein there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So we find this group of Corinthian people are carnal people, and we'll tell you what that means here in a minute. But I want to give you four things that are not marks of true spirituality. Okay? You ready? Here, number one. Personal separation. Personal separation. Now, is separation taught in Scripture? Sure. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. We are to be a separated people. I remember years ago when we, in youth, with Neighborhood Bible Time, we would sing a song, the things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, don't go there anymore. We changed it some. The girls I used to date, don't date them anymore. You know, we had all kinds of strange things. Should a believer be separated? Sure. What are some areas that a believer should be separated from the world in? Music. Thank you. Appreciate that. All the choir members. What you drink. Okay. Where you go. Rest. Dress. I'm sorry. Yeah. Modest dress. I hope that's the kind we want to have. What's that? Things. What kind of things? Ownership of things. Friends. Conversation. Good. All of these things are true. You know, you shouldn't, you know, a guy said, I don't dance, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. You know, that is a separated believer. And here we even, you know, talk about men's hair and, you know, and these kind of things and women's dress and being modest. And Preacher Lashley spent 46 years at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church preaching separation. But let me ask you a question. Just because you're separated, does that mean you are spiritual? Think about the Pharisees. Were they separated? My lands, they were separated. In fact, there were the Jewish laws, and they said, we don't want to break the Jewish laws, so what'd they do? And we kind of do this sometimes in fundamentalism. We do need to be careful with that. In order not to break this law over here, we set the law back over, another law over here. And in order not to break that law, we had law over here. See, you don't want to break the Sabbath, so now we have laws. You know, I can only walk 46 steps in the Sabbath. If I walk 47, I have broken the Sabbath. You know, it was that kind of thing. So these Pharisees were extremely separated and in righteous in their living. And the Lord said, in fact, the Lord said, look, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you'll not get to heaven. I mean, these were separated people. But let me ask you a question. Were they spiritual people? Were they even saved? No. Theirs was a works religion. You got to keep the law. They were not even saved people. What about people who will leave their family and go live in a building far, far away and separate themselves from the opposite sex totally and will live in seclusion? Surely they're separated. Speaking of the Catholic Church and their monks and the nuns and these kind of things, talk about separation. But are they spiritual people? No. They're not even saved. Again, they have a works religion. Look, folks, I think we need to be careful because probably this is one of the main ones we do. Look, I don't do all those things. Therefore, I'm spiritual. That is not the true sign of spirituality. Now, let me add a caveat, though. If you are truly spiritual, you will be separated. But just because you're separated, it doesn't make you spiritual. You with me so far? This means yes. Humor me. Okay, all right, yes. All right, good. Secondly, not only is separation not a true mark of a spiritual person, but evangelistic aggressiveness. Can you hand out tracts aggressively and not be a spiritual person? It's interesting, in Philippians, turn to Philippians chapter 1. This lesson is going to take several weeks, so I'm not going to get in any hurry here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Philippians 1:12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing, now notice they're brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are made more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. That's interesting, isn't it? You know what that word? That word strife is found in the list in Galatians 5 of the fruit of the flesh. They were preaching Christ for the wrong motive. They were actually preaching Christ to make his bondage more difficult. Now, is it possible to try to win people to Christ with the wrong motive? See, then I can bring them up in front of the church and said, well, boys, this week I was out soul winning, and I won all these people here, and I just want to show you how great a soul winner I am. And right? Now, again, I want to really stress this on every point. If you are spiritual, led by the Spirit of God, you will be witnessing and handing out tracts. But again, just because you are doesn't mean you're spiritual. Okay? All right, third one. Third mark. Biblical knowledge. Surely, if someone knows the Bible, then they are spiritual people. I mean, they've read the Word of God, they've studied the Word of God, they maybe have memorized the Word of God, they are spirit, they are authorities in the Word of God. Surely they, if they have spiritual knowledge, then we would conclude they are spiritual people. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 5. Now, here's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and what kind of people were they? Carnal, fleshly. We'll look at that in a minute. And he says in verse 5 that in everything you are enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. These people knew a whole lot, but they were not spiritual. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, knew a great deal. Would you mark Solomon as being a spiritual person? What did Solomon love? Women. Yeah, and not just one. I mean, let me give you one more. False view of spirituality. And that is being spiritually gifted. Just because you have spiritual gifts, does that mean you are spiritual? Now, how many believers have spiritual gifts? If you as a believer have a spiritual gift, at least one, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you as a believer have it, hold it up. If you as a believer, come on, if you're a believer, you've got one. Raise your hand up, brothers and sisters. Come on. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, you've got one. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he says, look, every believer, God gives every believer spiritual gifts. Now, If you have the spiritual gift of singing and you're able to get up and sing and people are blessed by it, and you sense that they are blessed by it, does that mean that you are spiritual? But isn't that how we think sometimes? Well, the Lord used me, I must be spiritual. Folks, the Lord used donkeys. All too often we fit that category, don't we? The Lord can use anything and anybody He wants to. But see, we get this idea, well, I have the gift of giving and I was able to give and they were blessed by it, therefore I must be spiritual. Or I was able to sing and they were blessed. Or I'm a bus captain and I went out and knocked on doors and people came to church and I must be spiritual. Uh-uh. Just because you are spiritually gifted, folks, does not mean you're spiritual. Look in verse 7 there in 1 Corinthians. It says, so that ye come behind in no what? What's the next word? Gift. These people were spiritually gifted. Were they spiritual? They were carnal. So we see all these things that are not necessarily marks. By the way, there are some great illustrations of that in the Word of God. How about Balaam in the Old Testament? He's always been kind of a conundrum to me. You read about him and he spoke for God. And yet he was killed later on, and you read in 2 Peter, it said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Why was he doing what he was doing? For money. Glad none of us are that way. He had some gifts. What about Samson? Did Samson have some spiritual gifts? What was his spiritual gift? His strength. Yeah, sure. Would you call Samson a spiritual man? He had the same problem as Solomon, didn't he? He loved women, and it was his downfall. Think about Judas. Now, some of this is conjecture, but Judas, when they were looking for a treasurer, if you had an organization and you were looking for a treasurer, what kind of person would you choose? Honest, upright, guy that was, you know, spiritual, loved the Lord, is going to do right. And it's interesting to me, they chose Judas. Now, I infer from that, when they went out preaching, that Judas was right there preaching with them. When they were performing miracles, Judas was right there with him. And when the Lord said, hey, look, somebody in this room is going to betray me, none of them said, oh, it's Judas. Right? They didn't know. His life was just like theirs on the exterior. Just because we're spiritually gifted, folks, doesn't mean that we are spiritual. All right, so we got those out of the way. How are you doing so far? All right. I'll just be honest with you. If you're like me, I just got the legs knocked out from under me. Because usually, when I try to judge my own spirituality, that's what I'm looking at. Is the Lord using me? Do I have spiritual gifts? Do I know the Word of God? Am I living better than my neighbor? See? Am I separated? Those things, folks, now all of those things should be true. And if you are spiritual, those things will be true. But again, just because you have those things, it does not mean you're spiritual. The church at Corinth had all those things, and they were carnal as the day is long. So, what are the true marks of a spiritual person? What does it mean to be spiritual? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, never have been, never will be, but I can read men that are, okay? The word spiritual is the word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. Now, you know that word, don't you? At least the first part of it. Pneumatic. What does that mean? It involves air or wind. And so he's saying the spiritual is something that is controlled by the spirit, the air, the wind, or the breath. The last part of that word, ikos, is a possessive word. We have a word, kurios, which is the Lord, and we have the Lord's day. It belongs to the Lord. A person who is spiritual, here it is, you ready? Sit up, listen, here it is. A person who is spiritual, and I think Amelia kind of inferred this early on, is a person who is controlled by the Spirit of God. You got that? A spiritual person. You are spiritual if you are controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting. I told you we'd get to this word carnal. The word carnal is the word sarx in Greek. And it is the word for flesh. Okay? And there, and it has the same kind of idea. If a person is carnal, they are controlled by what? The flesh. A spiritual person is controlled by the Spirit. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I hope you're still with me. All right? Galatians 5, 17. Here we go. Now, if you are a believer here today, every one of you will read this verse and say, that is exactly what I experience every day of my life. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth, or desires, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh and the Spirit are totally opposed to each other. Totally. We call the Spirit the what Spirit? Holy Spirit. He is totally and completely separate from sin. He is a Holy Spirit. Your flesh, what do you know about your flesh? When did you get it? Now, I'm not talking about this, okay? All right? You say, well, when I started eating at McDonald's three times a day, that's when I got my flesh, you know? You, by the way, you do that, you will get flesh. What are we talking about? Yeah, when did you get your flesh? When you were born. The old spirit, the old nature. Give me one word to describe the old nature of the flesh. It is? Sinful, fallen. How about corrupt? It is corrupt. It is wicked. Every time you have a decision to make in your life, your flesh is going to try to influence you to do what? Wrong. Every single time. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been saved at least 40 years? At least 40 years. Now, Tom Cole, let me ask you a question. You've been saved at least 40 years. Your flesh now is not near as corrupt as when you got saved, right? Wouldn't that be nice? How long will you have your old wicked flesh? Till you die. And when does it get better? When is it not so wicked? After you've been saved 10 years? 20? 30? Your wicked flesh stays the same your whole life. Until you die. This is why we hear stories about, preacher told me several years ago about a man who was a pastor for years and years. He was 85 years old and he committed adultery. And I said, how can this be? The reason is, folks, because your flesh is wicked and corrupt until you die. And so all of our lives we have this conflict in our souls of the flesh that's trying to control us and the Spirit of God that's trying to control us. It's going on all the time. How many of you would say amen to that? Been there and done that. Every day of your life. You may have had a conflict this morning. What did your flesh want to do this morning when the alarm went off? Stay home and stay in bed where it's warm. Okay? The Spirit of God said, hey buddy, you better get up and get going. And your wife. Yeah. Between your wife and the Holy Spirit, we may get you straightened out yet. Now, what is it that the Holy Spirit, how are we supposed to respond to the Holy Spirit of God? Now, there are three commands in the Word of God that are very clearly given, and this is as far as we're going to get this morning. Three commands. The first is found in Revelation 2 and 3. Let's turn there, and I want you to see this very quickly. Tell me what is in Revelation 2 and 3. The churches. Seven churches of Asia Minor. Were these actual churches? Yes, they were, in actual places. They are also symbolic churches, we believe, of the different ages of the church. All right? Now, Revelation 2, the first church mentioned there is the church of Ephesus. This is the first century church. And you work down to verse 7, and here's what he says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, what was the obligation of the first church to the Spirit of God? Listen. Okay? All right, that's the first church. Let's move on to the church of Smyrna. They think this was probably from Nero to 300. This was the persecuted church in verse 11. This persecuted church, what was their obligation to the Spirit of God? Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What was their obligation? Listen, we're on a roll. All right. Verse 17, this was the Pergamos church. It became very worldly, probably 300 to 800 AD. Verse 17, this church, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What was their obligation? Listen, you guys are getting it now. I believe you're going to make it now. The church of Thyatira, this is the church during the middle of the Dark Ages. What was their obligation? Chapter 2 and verse 29. And he hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The church of Sardis, which was the Reformation church, in verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The church of Philadelphia, the great missionary movement in the last century, verse 13. What are they supposed to do? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Finally, the church of Laodicea, the church of today, verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let me ask you a question. What is our first obligation to the Spirit of God? What are we commanded to do? Listen. Now, have you experienced, as a believer, have you experienced the Spirit of God speaking to you? Sure. Every time you have a decision to make, the Spirit of God says, this is what you ought to do. And the flesh is telling you, this is what you ought to do. What is the first command for a believer? If you are going to be here's the first mark of a believer, a spiritual person. What does the spiritual person do? They listen to the Spirit of God. And you turn the TV on and something wicked come on and the Spirit of God says, Joey! Joey! Don't watch it. And our first mark of a spiritual person is they listen to the Spirit of God. Are you listening to God's Spirit? See, this is why all those false marks at the beginning, they don't prove you're spiritual, but if you are spiritual, you'll listen to the Spirit of God and you will be separated. You will be winning people to Christ. You will be witnessing. You will be using your gifts for Him. You will be studying the Word of God and memorizing and meditating and mastering. Why? Because you're listening to the Spirit of God. A spiritual person listens to God's Spirit. Let's look at the second command. Ephesians 5:18. This is familiar to you. Ephesians 5:18. In fact, probably all this is familiar to you. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Let's say it together. You know this verse. Here we go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That was weak. Come on, gang. A little more energy, a little more life. Here we go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right. Now, we know this verse very well. When a person drinks alcohol, it controls them. I just looked up on the internet last night, and I don't remember just the lowest level of alcohol. It says it will overall improvements in mood and possible euphoria. That's why they drink. Increase self-confidence, even though they're not any better. Increase sociability. Shortened attention span. Flushed appearance. Impaired judgment. Impaired fine muscle coordination. Hey, what is it? Alcohol controls you. And he said, don't let alcohol control you, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. Here it is. A spiritual person not only listens to the Spirit of God, but is controlled by the Spirit of God. He hears and he obeys. That is a spiritual person. See, again, I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit is wanting to control your life. What is the Holy Spirit trying to do in your life? What is He trying to do in all believers' lives? What is His goal? I heard it. Make us more like Christ. Conform us. Exactly right. We are saved that we might be transformed. That's that metamorphosis. That change from the inside out. When you got saved, that you were given the Holy Spirit of God, not so you could have great spiritual gifts and be proud. You were given the Spirit of God so you could change from the inside out and become like Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is trying to do in your life and in my life. He wants to control us. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. So, number one, a truly spiritual person listens to the Spirit of God. Secondly, they are what? Controlled by the Spirit of God. And thirdly, Galatians 5:16. Back a couple chapters. Galatians 5:16. Another verse you know. And this is our key verse for our year. You may be able to see it somewhere in this room. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What's that talking about? Walk is your daily life. A spiritual person, as they go through their life, they are being controlled moment by moment, day by day, by the Spirit of God. That's a spiritual person. That's what a spiritual person is. They are spirit controlled. Now, very quickly, if that is true, how will it show yourself or show itself in your life? Now, remember, the Spirit is like the what? We said the pneumaticos. It is air. Or if you look in John 3, when the Lord is talking to Nicodemus, he said it's like the wind. Can you see the wind? No, you can't. Can you see the Spirit of God? No, you know, you say, well, I know he's spiritual because he has a glow about his face, you know. He's got the little halo, you know. He's so spirit. No, you can't see it. You can't see the Spirit of God. But can you see the effects of the Spirit of God? You may not be able to see the wind, but you can see the tree toppling over. And you know there was wind. And the wind is moving the leaves and doing all of these things. All right, how do you know if you're controlled by the Spirit of God? I mean, this is a mark of being spiritual. You listen, you obey, you walk controlled by the Spirit of God. How do you know if that's going on in your life? How do you know if you're listening? How do you know if you're being controlled? How do you know if you're walking? Well, by the effects. What are the effects? Well, look in Galatians chapter 5. You're there. If you are being controlled by the Spirit of God, what's going to be in your life? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the effects of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, which is self-control, and temperance. Now, wouldn't it be great if the way to know if you were spirit-controlled is if you spoke in tongues? Wouldn't it be great? Because we can all, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, he was speaking in tongues, and he, you know, we can all do that. That's easy. But he's saying, look, it's not that way, folks. The way to know if you're spiritual is if you have love. And that is sacrificing what I want to meet somebody's needs. Now, we're gonna apply all that next week. We're going to bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road. Okay? All right? And we're going to show exactly what that is. By the way, if you can't, I know the Whitmans are gone every other Sunday. You need this lesson. If you get on the internet next Monday, it'll be on our thing. You can listen to it, right? Just kidding about that. I mean, it will be on. You go under Sunday school lessons there, and these lessons are on, and you can listen to them if you happen to miss, and if you care. If you don't care, don't worry about it. Love, joy. Let me ask you a question. Do you have joy in your heart? This morning, as I was wandering around the church getting things ready, blessed assurance, Jesus. I almost changed the song this morning, the first song. Boy, it was just welling up in my soul. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You say, I don't have that. You're not spirit controlled. I'm not saying you have to be able to sing. You say, you can't sing either, Stephen. That's all right. Yeah, I agree with it. But folks, what is that? That's the joy of the Spirit of God working through you. If your life is, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. I'm just going through. I hope to make it to heaven someday. If I can just persevere to the end. You're not spirit controlled. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you have to be bouncing off the walls and be crazy like me. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, folks, if you're spiritual, you'll have joy. And look at the next one. Peace. You say, my mind is in turmoil. I'm just totally whacked out and I'm just going crazy. You know the problem? It's not your problems. The problem is you're not spirit controlled. You're not spiritual. A spiritual person has peace. And then, of course, my favorite. Let's just skip that one. Go on. Wow. To be able to stay under pressure and take it week after week after week. Boy, that's, I would rather do almost anything than wait in line. I am not long-suffering. For me to be long-suffering, you know I'm spirit-controlled. Right, if that ever happens. And gentleness and meekness. Now, those are the marks of a spiritual person. Now, let's just take a second, because we only got a couple seconds. What are the marks of a carnal person? Now here's the thing. You are either controlled by the Spirit of God or your flesh. Here's our verse. Notice. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. You are either spiritual or you are carnal. You say, well, I'd like to be somewhere in the middle. Can't be. You're either being controlled by your spirit or by your flesh. Now, we've looked at the marks of one who is controlled by the Spirit. Look at, real quickly, the marks of one who is controlled by the flesh. If these things are true in your life, you are not spiritual. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, those are all sexual sins. Okay? Idolatry, witchcraft, you can read the hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, all those words. If they're going on in your life, guess what? Controlled by the flesh. Carnal. All right. In conclusion, are you spiritual? Can you look in your life and say, I can see that the Spirit of God is producing the fruit, His fruit in my life? If you can't, then how do you get spiritual? You want to know? Come back next Sunday and I'll tell you. You're just going to have to suffer and be carnal until then. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's really simple. It really is. But it all has to do with listening, being controlled moment by moment by moment. And we'll give you some practical things next week that'll help you to do that. Okay? All right. Lord, help us to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Help me. God, my flesh is strong. My own power is very small. And Lord, I cannot walk in the Spirit on my own. And I pray that even this week, you would help us to allow the Spirit of God to control us, to move us, to make us what we ought to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.